Good afternoon and welcome to the Buckmaster Show from the Green Thing Socolo Village Studio. I'm Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuelita Sun. It's Monday, October 10th. It's Columbus Day. Bill and Ann are off enjoying another fantastic vacation, this time up in drop-dead gorgeous Canada. They are up in a gorgeous part there, and Ann's posting photos on Bill's Facebook page. Hope you they have a restful week off, and get over there and see those. She's a terrific photographer. Buckmaster Show comes to you live Monday through Friday, noon to 1, or you can check out all the past shows or the live stream at buckmastershow.com. We start off the week talking to our experts during the Monday political face-off, and today we will welcome Don Jorgensen and Shelley Kice. After the break at 12:30, we're going to be talking to Tom Murphy. He is the mayor of Sahuelita, and I always enjoy having him on the show. Please feel free to join us. If you have a question or comment, you can reach us at 520-790-2040. That's the Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. And let us remind you that the Monday Political Face-Off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, wall art, picture framing and hanging services and systems. Just heard Bill mentioning him last week. He had some work done over there. You name it, Moe's has it. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com, and you can find him on Facebook. We are joined now by our commentators. It's good to see you both, and I hope you both had a good weekend. Kelly, Shelley, I'm trying to say both of your names at once.
That works.
Good. So, good weekend, Don.
Great. Nice morning walk in Sabino Canyon Saturday. It's finally cool and just gorgeous.
Yeah, it is getting there. And I actually thought about putting on a sweatshirt the other night when I was walking the dog. And I thought, you idiot. Come on. A little soon. But it had dipped below 80. So I was getting a little chilly. So we have got a lot to talk about today. And Shelley, we're going to start with you because the ballots are going to be mailed out this week for the November 8th election. They go out on Wednesday. How are you feeling about this?
We're really excited. I really think that the momentum is moving toward the Republicans in this midterm. Our candidates are excited. We had a Trump rally up in Mesa yesterday, and I was so surprised. There literally are tens of thousands of people there. I mean, they're huge.
You were telling us a little bit about this. This is out in a dirt lot in Mesa, and as you correctly point out that when we get a TV view of this, we only get really part of the picture, and you were a little surprised.
Well, I was, because, you know, you've got the bleachers that are up, and then you've got the side, the side groups, and then the people that are in front, and then there's the media platform. But then there's like thousands of people standing behind that. And they stand for all those hours.
Yeah.
And, oh, boy, it was hot. You guys are talking about sweatshirts. You wouldn't have had them on yesterday, that's for sure.
Well, up in Phoenix, everything's a little hotter. That's why we like it down here. And we should point out that Shelley Kice is the chair of the Pima County GOP. Don, what are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking it's an interesting year because usually the first midterm in a president's term, it goes strongly to the other party, which would strongly favor Republicans. That's not happening, as you just heard. They're having to work hard to get perhaps a slight advantage, which they might have in Arizona because of the voting breakdown. So Democrats really ought to thank Donald Trump for coming yesterday, because it's a reminder to Arizonans of the extremist wing of that party, of their election deniers who were all up there on stage, Mark Fincham and
Carrie Lake.
And Hamadeh and all of them up there. And I was struck by the picture of Carrie Lake vacuuming the red carpet before Trump came up. I don't know what that was about, but a little odd view of someone who's running for governor.
Maybe it means she doesn't think anything is above her, beneath her. Yeah.
However, it's a reminder they're continuing to spew these lies about the last election and even questioning the next election coming up. I think Mark Fincham made some bizarre remarks about New Mexicans sneaking in to vote or register to vote, and saying that he won't accept the results unless he's elected. So again, we have to thank Trump for bringing the craziness back out in the open, and a reminder why it's so critical for Democrats and independents to vote. And I think that's the difference this year, is the turnout is going to be much higher than we've seen in midterms in the past.
Well, and this doesn't indicate to you that the Republicans are going to have a very strong turnout, and what you indicated already is a GOP state.
They usually do. That's right. The difference. They do have, they're very good at turnout. Democrats, not so much, but they've done a good job of getting Democrats angry, which is a motivator in elections, particularly with the abortion rulings and such. And so the difference here is that women are registering to vote in far greater percentages than men than ever before. So there's momentum there. And the question is whether that mirage of young people will show up in the midterms. We always talk about getting the young people out to vote, but because of the attack on rights, removing them from the Constitution, and just this one right, let alone what it's about, there seems to be momentum there as well. So it's going to turn on turnout, particularly of these independents and new voters versus just the traditional party voters.
So, Shelley, if Don is correct and a lot more women are registering to vote, is he making a rash assumption that they're all voting against people who support, who are pro-life?
I don't know what assumptions he's making there, because I know that the Washington Post and the NBC ABC news polling agency are showing that the issues are the economy, number one, inflation, number two, education in our schools, and that is where we see those mama bears show up, and number four, crime. We can talk about crime right here in Tucson. Our Democrats have failed us terribly in Pima County and Tucson. We've had 354 overdose deaths in Pima County since the beginning of the year. We've had 45 deaths by traffic incidences, and of those we've done tox screenings, and we've tox screened 72% of them, and of the 72% that we screened, 65% of them were positive. So we've been failed by the Democrat leadership here in the city of Tucson. We've been failed by the Democrat leadership in Pima County. And in fact, we're seeing about 35% of the voter registration in Arizona is now Republican, with just 30 to 31% being Democrat. And we are seeing, great things moving. So again, when we get to that abortion issue, it's so far down because, again, we're talking about the economy, we're talking about inflation, we're talking about schools, we're talking about crime, we're talking about immigration. Those are the issues that are on the minds of the people that are getting ready to go vote. And they are angry. They are angry that gas prices are going up. They are angry that they can't afford to buy food for their families. They are angry that their schools are failing them with all this wokeness and critical race theory and everything else. Our kids are not performing in schools. Our schools were locked down by the Democrats, and people are angry and they want to see change. That's why we see huge school board races in Pima County that are really they're going to bring to light, for example, only 40% of the kids at Amphi are at grade level. Down where we are, Dan, down in Continental, our kids are performing better because Continental Elementary School District did not shut down. We stayed open. We educated our kids, and we're seeing an increase. So we know what we need to do. We just need to get the people in there to do it.
Dawn Jorgensen, she is accurate that most elections do come down to personal economics.
That's right. However, she was talking about national numbers. In looking at the state, the number one issue, as it is always, and you're absolutely right, is everyone's wallet, is economics and inflation, which go together. And I'll come back to that. The number two issue in Arizona, Shelley was talking about nationally, number two issue is abortion and rights.
And it
then
depends
we get
how
down
you
to, it. Hold on, you had your chance. And third looks at clean water, looks at education, looks at those other issues. But just with regard to what's happening in the state of Arizona, Arizona's been run by Republicans now for years at the governor level and at the legislative level. So if you want to complain about issues in education, you start with the lack of funding that still persists to this day and is still a key issue among the voters in recent polls. That's the key.
Well,
there.
I sit on a school board, and we have a $1.5 million carryover. Our schools have millions of dollars. Our schools are flush with cash. That is not an issue.
It is an issue when they're not allowed to spend it because the legislature did not approve that additional step that was needed. But that's just one.
Don, I sit on a school board. We're spending the money. I'm telling you what we're carrying over.
Then we would expect the schools to do better if you're on the school board. And so we could come back to
that.
Well, and
that's what Continental
talking about,
is.
I know you want to change the subject from abortion and the economy, but let's talk about it. Under Biden, the deficit has gone down. Under Biden, we're seeing manufacturing jobs come back. Trump promised, didn't do it. Biden's done it. We're seeing jobs at levels we've never seen. Unemployment is lower. Look at the Hispanic unemployment rate. It's been cut from over 8% to under 4% under Biden. So you're seeing a strong economy. And yes, inflation's an issue. We all know that. That happened as a result of coming out of the pandemic and the rush everyone had getting back to work. Wages are up. Inflation is slowing. Yes, gas prices are probably going to tick up because of after they came back down under Biden, by the way. And one of the things Biden did was eliminate the gas tax. They also tried to pass a bill to stop price gouging by gas companies, by the oil companies that Republicans opposed. So the Democrats and Biden have taken action to address and reduce inflation. And every step they have taken, like the Inflation Reduction Act, which lowered drug prices, every step the GOP has either blocked or opposed. So when you look at who's doing what's necessary to address inflation, you have to look at the Democrats.
Okay, we're with Don Jorgensen and Shelley Kice on the Monday Political Face-Off. You're listening to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolow Village studio, and our live line is made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. You can find Mona's on the northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's is open for breakfast and lunch. Treat yourself to some of their fine offerings, including that famous Danish Kringle. Find them at monasdanishbakery.com or go to buckmastershow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. We'll be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The way we vote in Pima County is changing. Are you ready? The League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson invites you to visit ReadySetVoteTucson.com to learn about new vote centers for easier in-person voting, new voting districts, and changes to the early voting list. Get ready to vote at ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Brought to you by the League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson. That's ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Get ready to vote.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. And on Facebook, I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News. Sawadita Sun sitting in for a vacationing Bill Buckmaster. You've joined us in the middle of the Monday Political Face-Off with Don Jorgensen and Shelley Kyson. We're going to go to the phone right now. David, you had a comment.
Yes. So far, both the Republicans and Democrats have ignored our number one issue here in Arizona. It's water, and our growth is unsustainable. Anybody can see that, okay? And it's the Republicans. I'm independent. I'm not Democrat or Republican, okay? The Republicans on the legislature, they keep passing bill after bill after bill, the equivalent of throwing gasoline in an already raging fire. I mean, we're growing like a cancer, and yet they pass bills, like one bill. For example, prohibit a municipality from denying wastewater services to a big development outside the development, or a bill that would prohibit a municipality from requiring salvage of native vegetation to path of development, or the latest one, a bill that would prohibit a county from acquiring land within a municipality for open space preservation. Okay, our water issue is driven entirely by our land use choices. We are converting the natural desert, and scraping away and converting it into these big, giant, cookie-cutter housing developments so masses of people can move here and use more water. Example, Phoenix, Douglas Ranch, 100,000 homes. Average household uses 100,000 gallons of water in a year. Multiply that by 100,000 times 100,000, that's how much water that development's going to require. Okay, the developer says he's going to use groundwater. Well, he's using up the groundwater we're going to have to fall back upon when we lose our Colorado River water. We're going to lose it because we had to give up our rights to our water in order to get the funding for the Central Arizona.
Thank you, David. Let's let our commentators address that. Donnie's right. Huge issue.
Absolutely right. We live in the desert, and so we need leaders that have kind of reasonable and rational plans to deal with it. I'd suggest going to Katie Hobbs' website where she does address that. You know, she's Native Arizona understands exactly what this gentleman's talking about, that we do need rational and reasonable water conservation plans moving forward, or we'll run out.
Shelley.
Well, you know, this is a classic business problem. This is one of the 14 business problems that every leader is going to face. And so it's a distribution of resources. And, you know, I was so excited yesterday to hear Blake Masters, our candidate for the United States Senate, talking about the water issues, as well as our gubernatorial candidate, Carrie Lake, who also discussed water issues and the innovation and creativity. The other problem is, remember, we've grown. We're growing exponentially. It's not just that we're building Douglas Ranch. What's happening is people are coming to Arizona because of our business practices and policies, the innovation and creativity that have been brought to us by our Republican legislature. So the question is, do we grow or no? It comes down, it's pretty simple like that. And if we're going to grow, then we're going to need to be innovative. And Blake Masters and Carrie Lake both discussed innovative solutions to our water issue yesterday.
Well, it's interesting. On Friday, we had Chris Mays, Attorney General candidate, in our office, and we were talking about water issues, and we were talking specifically west of the Phoenix area, all of this alfalfa that's being grown by the Saudis who are using our water because they need hay for some reason back in Saudi Arabia. So they come to a desert to grow this, and somebody in the state gave them these sweet deal, these land leases, where they can do this. And it's certainly something she wants to look at as AG if she is elected. But I think a lot of us are surprised that there are foreign entities actually out there outside of mining that have a straw down into the aquifers. There's a lot going on.
And we see that across the United States.
Correct. And it's very, very – I'm glad they're talking about it, and I'm very glad to hear that they're talking about it. Don, Friday afternoon we saw an appeals court panel block enforcement of an Arizona law that almost entirely criminalized abortion in the state. That means that abortions may resume for now. Was that the right decision?
Yeah, of course it was the right decision. You know, again, it's all about – respecting the rights of the individuals, which have been taken away. And that's why we have so many women and young people seriously concerned about this issue. And it is going to be a driver to the polls. I'll be curious to see if what happened in Kentucky also on Friday happens here. And that is where you had three Jewish women sue the state of Kentucky for infringing on their religious rights, because the Jewish religion, they don't believe life begins until a baby takes his first breath. And so you now have that same question about infringing versus protecting religious rights, which is what this whole abortion issue Republicans have brought forth is about, no matter what they say. So, you know, is it okay for both sides or only just one side? And Republicans are going to have to face the reality of that question, too.
Shelley Case, the Friday decision, what did you think of it?
Well, I think that this should not be a federal issue. I think it should be a state issue. I believe that the states need to address it. It may turn out that you can go to California and you can practice infanticide. But when you come to Arizona, we're not going to do that. I was very interested to hear.
Infanticide. Again, that's a religious view, not a medical view.
Again, Don, give me some time here. I was very surprised yesterday to hear President Trump say that he believes in three exceptions and abortions up to 15 weeks. I did not know that. I think the biggest issue that we need to address is, you know, Don's sitting over there and he's going to be more of a big government. I'm going to be more of a state's rights. And I think that the issue, it should not have been a federal issue. I think it should be a state issue. And I think that's what this is all about. And we'll see where it ends up.
And Don, I want to get back and ask more specific questions that we had mentioned that the gas prices are going up at the pump. Is that bad timing for Democrats? Mixed with the abortion ruling Friday, does that mean that some women have just kind of said, okay, I feel better about this now because right now abortions can resume in Arizona? Is that going to keep people from the polls because it's coming up?
Oh, I don't think so. I think this attack on women's rights is very clear and strong lasting. They realize that Again, it's an issue not just of abortion, but of taking away rights, and that's what they're reacting to. And you have talk among Republicans at the state level as well as the national level about taking away additional rights with regard to same-sex marriage. So they see the pattern here. Now, with regard to gas prices, yes, everyone's concerned about that. You know, we recognize that they came down about a dollar under Biden. Now they may creep up about 30 cents. Folks are watching the news, and it is a question of how much folks are educating themselves about the impact that Putin's war has on gas prices, and the Saudis trying to take advantage of that. So you've got the Saudis and Russians kind of supporting the Republican side with what they're doing. There's an interesting answer to the question, though, that both sides should take a look at, and that is the decision in 2015 to allow U.S. oil companies to export oil. Before that, it wasn't allowed. Since then, 30% of the U.S. oil supply is being sold to foreign nations. If that ban came back in place, we would not have an oil, a gas price issue or oil issue in the U.S. And so
Okay, we've got a minute left, and I want to make sure that both of you I want you guys to understand that while I appreciate your opinions on abortion, as a woman, I am sitting here, and I'm telling you what worries me even more is that 18% of our kids at the Tucson Unified School District read at reading level. That's a huge issue. And in education, we know that when we get to third grade, if we have kids that aren't reading at grade level, they are on a pathway to trouble. And so when we're talking about abortion, gentlemen, with all due respect, I am a woman, and I believe that I have an opinion too. And I think that you'll find that many women, there's 50% of us in this country, and I don't think that all of us are only concerned about abortion. We're concerned about our children and their ability to read. We're concerned about the health care that we have for our children, our ability to put food on the table. And so with that, I appreciate your comments, but I think that you need to understand there's more than just a few women.
Okay, that is going to wrap it up for our Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. My thanks to Don and Shelley. Make it a great week, you two.
And you. Pleasure.
We're going to be right back with the Sarita Mayor, Tom Murphy.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Arizonans are facing big challenges these days. Rising costs at the grocery store, the gas pump, and the pharmacy. That's why Mark Kelly is doing whatever it takes in Washington to bring down costs, even when it means standing up to his own party. The son of two police officers, Mark grew up in a house where money was tight. He knows what it means for Arizonans when everyday items cost more. Thanks to Mark Kelly's work, Medicare will finally negotiate down prescription drug prices. Less money spent at the pharmacy means more money stays in your pocket. Mark is leading the effort to cut red tape for truckers and ease supply chain issues. And he's pushing for more domestic oil production to bring down gas prices. Because Mark knows that for a lot of people, every little bit counts right now. Senator Mark Kelly, looking out for Arizona, fighting for us.
I'm Mark Kelly, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Mark Kelly for Senate.
Weekday mornings at 9 on KVOI.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Buckmaster Show, and I always need an extra minute just to kind of shake it off from the political face-off. That's always quite something, but loved our two guests, Don Jorgensen and Shelley Keis. Always great to see them. I'm Dan Scheer. I'm sitting in for Bill. He is enjoying a bit of R&R with his wife, Anne, as we said, up in Canada. Check out their updates with lots of photos on Bill's Facebook page. If you are looking for a vacation spot yourself, our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico would love to host you. It's just 3 hours east of Tucson. There's a lot to do in Silver City and Grant County, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, and a lot more. For a complete listing of the many things to do and great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. In studio, we have Tom Murphy. He is the recently reelected town council member for Sahuarita and the current mayor. Tom, how you doing?
I'm doing great, and I wanted to wish Ann a happy birthday. I know they're up there celebrating a birthday.
Excellent. And Sahuarita voters do not elect a mayor. Tell us how you got your job.
Yes. Well, I left a very good high-paying job to run for the council. That's how it started after being on the school board many years.
Yep.
But we're the largest town, I think I'm correct, in Arizona that still the council selects the mayor. Mm. It was Pleasant Valley, I think. It was another town north of us that had gone to a direct election of mayor. So it's a two-step process if we ever wanted to do that. We'd first have to ask the voters on one election if they want a direct election of mayor.
Right.
And then if it passes, then 2 years later, because we go on, we're split between four and three council members every 2 years. And then we have to go back to the voters again. And when the previous mayor, Dwayne Bloomberg, who I know you know very well, did a little white paper on the pros and cons and such, the council decided they liked the way it is as we started as a small town. And we didn't go to the voters. We didn't put that on the ballot for consideration.
It ain't broke yet. So
no.
Let's just keep going this way. So then sometime after the election, the council will get together and...
Yes, it's after the county canvasses the general election, which usually happens in December.
Okay.
And then the vice mayor and the mayor comes up for, by code, comes up for a decision on who they want me to continue or select somebody new. And it could be me continue and the vice mayor new or vice versa. So it's up to the council at the time.
And I've seen it several times, and it's always a curious thing because it's done out in front of everybody.
Yes. Well, I know you like transparency, so.
demand it, actually.
Absolutely. You know? So. And you don't know going in because we go randomly who we want to put forward as mayor or vice mayor. And if that person is already name has come up, you can say pass. And then you go back random and you select the mayor and vice mayor. And the last two times, actually, it came down to a tie-breaking vote.
Right.
It was 3-3. And it was he's not on the council anymore, and it was both times Gil Lusk, who coincidentally came up as the last vote, and he could see, you could see how much of a struggle it was, because we have good people.
Right, exactly, and Gil is missed, because he resigned, was that earlier this year?
Yes.
And cause he moved to Green Valley.
Green Valley.
And his expertise in a lot of areas is really missed, but we have some great people on there now.
Absolutely. So. And I wanted to apologize. I was almost running late. I was vacuuming the carpets in my town hall because nothing is beneath me. So I
hear Carrie Lake does that.
Yes. Well, I think all good leaders, nothing should be beneath us to do.
There we go. So, yeah, I've seen you do some thankless things, trust me, and I don't know how you do it. So the town is coming close to completing a road project that will link the Quail Creek area with a major shopping district, but it's really a lot more than that.
Yes.
Tell us about this, because as we look at it, and we were talking about it in the newsroom the other day, this is more than just a road.
Yes, it is, and it's multifaceted, I think, the benefit of it. Connecting the east and west part of our communities, as you mentioned, Quail Creek, Stonehouse, Madera Highlands, even going back down even a little further to La Posada, our newest residence, Madera Reserve, which is in Green Valley, but you would actually could come up Nogales Highway and then cut over. So one, I think it brings our community together. It's a connector. One of our Green Valley Fire District stations, 155, is located in Quail Creek. Right now, if something happened down at the Walmart or I-19 and Nogales Highway, it's about an 8-minute drive where it would literally be cut in half. It would be a 4-minute drive, which doesn't seem like a lot, but when you're having a stroke or a heart attack, that could be, and for police response as well. Plus, if you're living on that eastern part with Quail Creek and others, it could be more convenient to go down to Continental Road and shop in Green Valley, which benefits the county but doesn't benefit the town itself. So there's an estimate of a potential increase in sales tax collection, making it easier, coming right there out of Quail Creek and shooting right across the road. Plus, as you know, we've been working on annexation to our east, our CCAP project, but really state land is communicated. We have two major parcels of state land in our town, and they'd like to see how we handle the state land that's already in our town. There's about 166 acres near the crossing that this road will bring more infrastructure to, and we're in communications with them about what type of flexible zoning they'd like to see there as well. So it's economic development for today for sales tax revenue, as well as economic development in the future of the 166 acres of state land. And you've seen what happened with the crossing just coming out of the ground.
Sure.
And you think about another 166 acres and the possibilities of that. So we're really excited about the completion of it by the end of the year.
And really, so state trust land basically wants you to do something with the land that you already are within your boundaries. And then if we do something, which we are.
Right.
It would now allow us to look at state trust land as we look to annex east.
Yes, and I think that just gives them a different comfort level, I guess.
Okay.
I'm speaking my words, not theirs. But, they want to get the best value of return on that land. So to see what we can potentially do with what's in our town boundaries already, that's what we're working on to hopefully have some future conversations about going east.
And then really haven't you, by putting in, 1.7 miles more of road, offered frontage on what should be a fairly well-traveled road for businesses or other things?
Yes, no, absolutely. And you've seen and watched the growth down in that area from the repurposed Walmart to the crossing, as we mentioned. And if you bring another 166 acres onto the rolls, that would obviously, we don't have a property tax, but we share in state shared revenue. So whether it be taxes or construction sales tax through growth, we're very excited about the potential for that property.
Okay, we are going to take a quick break here. This is the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolo Village Studio. Our guest is Sarita Mayor Tom Murphy. You can join us on the live line, made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be back in a minute.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
This is John Trout. Catch me every weekday morning at 5 before Wake Up Tucson with America in the Morning. Breaking news, weather, politics, and sports on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
There we go. And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Since 1970, Green Things has been the go-to place for your gardening needs. Green Things is on a gorgeous 13-acre site that's also home to Zocalo Village and all of their fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things on River Road, just west of Brandy Fenton Park, and on the web at greenthingsaz.com and socalovillage.com. We're in studio with Tom Murphy. He occupies the mayor's office in Sahuarita, south of Tucson. That's where I happen to live. And Tom, we know that the mail-in ballots for the November 8th midterm are going out on Wednesday. And by the way, if you you have through Tuesday to register if you want to vote in that election, check out the Secretary of State's website for more information. But Mayor Murphy, I know you can't tell people how to vote, but generally speaking, does it really matter to an incorporated town like Sahuarita or Oro Valley or Marana, who does it really matter who's the governor, attorney general, secretary of state? How much interaction do you really have with those positions?
No, I think it's very important, especially as a rural community not located in Maricopa County. sort of the governor's philosophy on local control, which I spend a lot of time advocating for, to, you know, having it at the lowest level. So during the pandemic, you know, I was invited to go up and work with Governor Ducey two or three different times, one on talking about our restaurants and what we were doing innovative to try to help our restaurants keep open. We are a subdivision as an incorporated town of the state, so it really does matter when it came to masking, implementation, mandating, those types of things, which we weren't in favor of, having the correct governor in place, protecting our freedoms, protecting our local control was very important. He brought up a group of us another time when there was, the ARPA money was available, and if you might remember, they backfilled all the police departments, which freed up all of that money out of the general fund to use how we thought it was best and necessary. So I know, you know, probably towns like Tombstone and Bisbee, which struggled with lack of tourism, allocated it in some ways, and we had the ability to do it in others. So I really appreciated that philosophy of letting towns and cities advocate and spend the money and make the best decision for their residents. So I think it does matter.
So who's up in Phoenix does matter.
Yes, it does. Absolutely. It it cascades down.
it rolls downhill.
It rolls downhill, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And we happen to be south, so it even rolls down further.
Yeah, we feel it. By the way, Bill Buckmaster had a great conversation on Wednesday, that would be October 5th, with the head of the Southern Arizona Leadership Council on all of the 2022 Arizona ballot measures. So you can check out the Buckmaster archives if you didn't catch it live. It is well worth listening to and be up on when that ballot comes in the mail, which is going to happen very soon. Sawita has an international flair with SAMTech, the Sarita Advanced Manufacturing and Technology Center. Tell us a little bit about what's going on that. And then the key question, are we going to see a SAMTech 2.0?
Right. Well, that will probably be up to the private sector. The last part of the question, I can circle back to that. But no, we're very excited. Power Photonic out of Scotland. We're going to be their U.S. headquarters. They needed to have a U.S. location to work with a lot of the defense contractors. They needed a U.S. presence. And because of Raytheon and some of the other defense contractors, you know, they picked us, and we hope it's because of our quality of life as well. And they raved about the building and, you know, facing the mountains, and we really spend time on finish of our buildings and how we want to have those portrayed to the public. And then Steel Jupiter, a very unique coating device that improves the filtration system to 99.99% efficacy to capture the virus, including COVID, so on masks, on air filters. So we're really excited because out of the 32,000 square feet, that takes 27,000 square feet. So it does show, in my opinion, if you build it, they will come, mm-hmm. as they say. And so we have a little bit left. But really, this was to prime the pump. I think from council's perspective, this was something that was a unique opportunity because at the time, Freeport was supposed to be slowing down and maybe laying off some workers. And because of that impact, we had this one-time opportunity to get a grant at the EDA. So it was a true partnership. Arizona Corporation Commission helped with some pipe to have that shovel ready. Freeport kicked in some money. But what we hope is the private developers around there, which mostly is Rancho Sarita, would look at maybe building SAMTech 2.0.
Okay, we'll see if that actually that actually happens. We have a lot of concerned people down there about the Copper World project on the western slope of the Santa Ritas. This is the mining business owned by Hudbay Minerals out of Canada. And they are straightforward about the fact that they're going to put in some open pit mines that will be visible from the town and Green Valley. Are you being contacted by people in and around Sawarita, and what are their concerns?
Not really, because, well, the other Rosemont, what has been going on, like 15 years on the other side. And I've always been supportive of the mining community. I think it's a national defense issue. You know, when so many of your precious minerals are mined overseas, they could be your friends today or not, but they could certainly not be your friends tomorrow. And if we're really moving, if the thought is to really move to a green technology, copper has to come from someplace. And unlike some crops where you can pick and choose, where you can grow, copper is where it is, and it's in the ground. And we are the copper state, of course. And I think that you can't have, you know, one without the other. The uniqueness of this particular project is it's all on private land, so I think it probably will come out of the ground quicker, potentially. The ore is richer than the other side. It's closer to the surface, so there'll be less waste rock. And they have the capability of actually processing it on site. So a lot of the controversy on the Rosemont was a lot of trucks going down 82 and having to move the rock off site to be mined or crushed. But they're going to do a lot of this right there on site and then actually bring the anodes off over to the wire manufacturers or plumbing or whoever it might be. So I really haven't. Probably water is the one that comes up more sure. times than not, but as your last segment came up, water is an issue that comes up on all things. But if you're going to, I just think when it comes to water, you have to be open-minded and be ready for creative solutions. I don't think there's going to be one way. I think I went to a CAP dinner the other night, and I was talking to President Goddard, and he was talking about probably desalinization is probably not cost-effective right now, but there's a lot of other tools in the toolbox, and it's going to be up to all of our states and Mexico to work together and with the federal government to come up with a solution. But because of the low regulations and a welcoming state that we are in Arizona, we're going to continue to have people move here. We don't always, you know, have the ability to say, okay, I'm here now, so I'm going to lock the door behind me and not allow you in. And water is just something we're going to have to figure out. But we have a pretty plentiful aquifer down in our area. We, as you know, we have two CAP water lines coming down into mm-hmm. our area to add to that. And one of the things I was grateful with Copper World Hudbay was they're going to recharge 100% of the water in the aquifer they're actually drawing from. Because right now, I think they have about 8 years' worth of water credits up in the Marana area to right. actually operate, but for their commitment to actually bring water to our aquifer, I'm very grateful for that.
And we talk about Hudbay saying that they could process some of this on site, which is great, but we don't have a percentage yet on that. It could be 10%, it could be 50, 60%. We just don't know. So we can point to that as maybe having less of an impact once we know a number. And it's and you're right, it's going to come out of the ground very quickly.
Right. And I think last time I talked to Hudbay, they said they have a frequently asked site up and going. And I thought they referred to processing upwards of 100%, and that was on there frequently, but I haven't gone to it lately to take a look at it. That might be something that the listeners could go to and take a look at.
Okay. The Vail community in the southeastern part of the Tucson metro area is considering another run at incorporation, and it is not on the ballot this year, but there's a group trying to make a decision on whether to move forward with it. But it was on the 2013 ballot. It went down 56-44%. We don't have a lot of time here, but I recall back then that Vail came to Green Valley and Sawatita asking a lot of questions because Sawatita incorporated in 94. Green Valley has turned down incorporation four times. Has anybody from Vail approached you for advice?
Yes, they have. And I've actually gone out a couple of different occasions and talked to them. And it really wasn't from a, yes, you should go do this. I said, you really need to do the due diligence. You need to talk to the county because, as you know, when we incorporated, we used the county for a lot of our services until right. we ramped up. I did tell them I think they're in a much different, better place than we were. They have a much better identity, especially because of the success of the Vail School District. Really depends on where you draw your boundaries. And I said, really, it's up to the voters. So to do the foundational work, find out where these services are going to be coming from. But to have an extra vote, from my perspective, on PAG RTA would be a really good thing with another incorporated community that thinks and governs and acts a lot like we do out in Sawarita. I think it would be a very a positive development, but it's really up to their voters.
Yeah.
But I have been asked and I have presented and given my thoughts.
And it takes a little bit of nerve to go for it.
It does. A little bit of nerve, a little bit of courage, because you think back in 94 with 1,800 residents.
Absolutely.
Here we are at 35,000.
Very good. Okay, that is going to wrap it up. Our thanks to Tom Murphy. He is the mayor of Sahuarita. Tom, where can we keep up on Town of Sahuarita, other than, of course, going to the annual luncheon, State of the Town luncheon? What's the website?
SahuaritaAZ.gov, and there's ones on there for Park and Rec and all kinds of other economic development. So if you just Google Sahuarita AZ, it's number one or number two that pops up.
Okay, thank you, Tom, for joining us. Really enjoyed it. I'm going to be back in this seat again on Friday. We'll be talking to a statewide polling expert just days after the ballots are mailed out.